Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. On today's show, we're going to discuss hypnotherapy. So what I hope is that I will lull all of you into a trance around what a great show Mental Health Matters is. As you know, Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, sex, sexual addiction, sexuality, addiction, discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Generally, each week we'll highlight an issue and I'll give you, the audience, the ability to call in and ask me or my guest a question about the subject. But today I'm pre-recording this show because it's going to come to you on Rosh Hashanah and I don't work on Rosh Hashanah. So you're listening to us on the radio and taped as opposed to live. Next week we'll be back on Thursday at 1 o'clock for Mental Health Matters, and I hope you will join us again then. So, my guest today is George Balavis, and he is a licensed hypnotherapist as well as a licensed professional counselor. And we're going to get to the subject in just a moment. I want to tell you that if you would like to log on to my website to listen to this show, which will be archived by this evening, or any past show you can listen to will all be archived by this evening. You can get on by getting on to the radio website at www.wrir.org. If you get onto that website and click my show, you will miraculously get onto my website. If you'd like to write to me, ask a question, weigh in on a subject, or perhaps even suggest a topic for another show, please send me a note to my Gmail account. That's urmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Urmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. George, thank you for coming today and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gail. Good pleasure being here.
You know, hypnotherapy is one of those topics that people can make a lot of jokes about. And hypnotherapy is one of those subjects that people think, not real, or that you go to a show and watch people be hypnotized into doing some really odd things. But really, hypnotherapy has been used for a very long time in psychology. If I remember my psychological history, I think that Freud used some forms of hypnotherapy with his very first clients to do some talk therapy. So help us clear up our thinking. What is hypnotherapy?
You know, I think stage hypnosis kind of gave us a bad name. Because, you know, with people walking around the stage cooking like chickens and taking their clothes off and things like that, that doesn't happen in the therapy room, I guarantee it. But what hypnotherapy does, it allows a person to get in touch with that part of their mind which is not always available to them consciously. That great part of your mind that is unconscious, where everything, every experience, every learning is stored. You know, you hear that people only use like 10% of their brain, but that's not true. We use our whole brain, but not all of it is available to our conscious mind, because that's just too much information. We'd be overwhelmed. So everything we learn, all our experiences kind of get put into our unconscious part of our mind. And what hypnotherapy does is allows a person to get access to that part of their mind, that where all originality is. And by getting in touch with that part of your mind, you can come up with unique solutions to problems that have been bugging you for most of your life.
Well, that is interesting. Do you think that some people are just not capable of allowing you or anybody else to hypnotize them?
No, anybody can be hypnotized. In fact, we go into trance all the time throughout the day. When a person, just for a person, falls asleep, they go into a hypnotic trance. And when a person is coming out of sleep, they're in a hypnotic trance, not fully aware, not fully alert. Maybe when the person wakes up, you might remember a dream, and it might feel real for a couple of minutes. And that's a sort of
And that's trance?
That's trance. It's a place in between full alertness and sleep. And, you know, if you've ever driven down a highway or an interstate and driven and passed several exits and then kind of forgot that you were driving, I don't know if you've ever done that.
Oh, my God, I do it all the time.
Yeah, there you go. You're actually driving in a hypnotic trance.
Oh, my gosh, that's a scary thought.
Well, it's not real scary because people actually drive better when they use their unconscious than if they were using their conscious mind.
They drive better? Explain that to me.
Well, it's like you've heard athletes say being in the zone.
Yes.
So if a person tries to think about everything consciously, driving a car, how much pressure to put on the gas pedal, how many degrees to turn the steering wheel, all these, if you try to process all that information consciously, you get very awkward.
Right. That is, it's true. It's like being over-supervised.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll trip over your own feet if somebody's watching you walk.
That's right. But athletes, when they get in the zone, they're not thinking about it. A basketball player doesn't think about how much loft to put on the shot and how much pressure to put on the ball. It just happens. It just flows. And he does so much better when he's not thinking than when he is.
You know, it is interesting. At the beginning of my career, I spent a lot of time with people who were very anxious about driving. They had driving phobia, and
right.
I did in vivo desensitization with them, where I would take them little by little by little on these trips in the car.
Uh-huh.
And I would always say that their biggest problem is that they couldn't screen out the stimuli that you and I just sort of take for granted when we do get in the car and start driving.
That's right.
And that because they couldn't do that and they were so over-focused on every single thing they were doing, they were the worst drivers, and I swore that they were going to kill me and that there was a really good reason that they were driving phobics because they were scary on the road. So what you just said is just so interesting and really makes sense.
It's really just about relaxing and
really
trusting,
just about relaxing.
Trusting yourself to do what you know how to do already.
So, okay, so somebody comes in a harried fashion to your office for one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
What might you use hypnotherapy for, and how do you get them to a different place?
Hypnotherapy is for change. And you can change just about anything. A lot of people, phobias, as you mentioned, it works well with phobias. Works well with old habits that people are trying to get rid of. Essentially, the first part of hypnosis is allowing a person to relax. And so when someone comes into my office and they want to use hypnosis in some way, first I want to figure out exactly what they want to change and kind of get a commitment to changing this particular thing.
Would it be something like smoking?
Smoking would work, yes. Weight loss is a very common use of hypnosis. Just about anything. I've also used it with phobias.
Mm-hmm. But you don't use it, and let me, I hate to interrupt you, but you wouldn't use it to try to get somebody to kind of uncover a memory that they couldn't bring into consciousness, or you would use it for that?
It can be used for that, but again, that would have to be, the patient would want to go there. Yeah, I wouldn't do it without permission from the patient to uncover whatever they want to uncover. But it has been used for that, to uncover old experiences and to remember things. Sometimes it's been used to find things that have been lost. Actually.
Find things that have been lost to get somebody comfortable and relaxed enough that they can go, oh my, I know now. I left that key in the back seat of the car.
That's right. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And you know, when you try to remember a name and they say it's on the tip of my tongue, and the harder you try to remember it, or the name of a song or something like that, the harder you try to remember it, the further away it seems to get. And then when you relax and try not try to remember it, it just miraculously appears to you.
So tell me how you get somebody into that altered consciousness.
It's about relaxation. It's about letting your mind go. And essentially, what happens is a person gets sort of into a natural rhythm, maybe paying attention to the rhythm of their breathing or the rhythm of their heartbeat. And that's a natural relaxing kind of thing because it is so rhythmic. And as a person relaxes, their unconscious mind naturally kind of comes to the forefront.
You just changed your voice while you were telling us that.
I didn't even realize I'd done that.
And so what you might ask a client to do is to just be still and listen to their own breathing, mm-hmm. And that in and of itself helps them to begin to relax and get to a different psychological state.
That's right, yeah. I let them know there's no way you can be a failure at hypnosis because you're going to learn something. And really, if anybody's a failure, it would be me. I'm doing all the work.
Right.
And a person can just sit there and let his or her mind wander to where it needs to go because the unconscious is very intelligent and it knows where to go.
What's the difference between hypnotherapy or hypnosis and meditation?
Not a lot. Hypnotherapy is just a bit more focused, a bit more guided towards problem solving mm-hmm. than meditation is. Meditation is a little bit kind of more wide open, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But with hypnosis, you're focusing on a particular problem and looking for a solution to that particular problem.
If you were to work with somebody in helping them to get to a hypnotic state, do you also begin to get into a different ego state?
Every time.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. Every time.
And when you're working with clients and they're done with the session, do they report feeling calm and feeling almost relaxed?
Usually they're very surprised at how calm and relaxed they do feel. And sometimes I may give a suggestion that evening they will sleep very soundly and wake up refreshed, and their unconscious mind is able to take that information and kind of act on it so that they do feel better even the next morning.
How did you learn how to do all of this?
Through training. I got a lot of training up in Northern Virginia. Actually, when I first came to Richmond, I was working with Henrico Mental Health, and a lot of folks there were into hypnosis, and they brought a guy in named Steve Gilligan, who's just a fantastic trainer. And I was surprised myself about the effects of hypnosis on myself because he would come in and put us all under and we would teach us things. And I just became really, really impressed with how well it worked with me. And then I got further training with this fellow up in Maryland called Ron Klein, and that's really where I got the bulk of my training. And I still go back to training with him from time to time. He keeps saying he's going to retire, but he's not going to retire. He's like 75 years old now. He loves it too. So I did that and got enough hours to get certified and began using it in my private practice. And
how many people in Richmond do this kind of work? And how does somebody sort out whether or not that person's worth their salt?
I really don't know how many people in Richmond do that. I know quite a few do. And you would want to get someone who certainly has some kind of certification and maybe do a bit of an interview with that person just to kind of see what their thoughts about hypnosis are. And you want to be sure that you don't get someone who wants to control you and come up with solutions for you. Because the whole point about hypnosis is allowing you to come up with your own solutions.
You know, let's just talk a little bit about something controversial in the psychotherapy world. A couple of years back, we were hearing a lot about therapists having their clients uncover memories that were totally not available to them until they started using these hypnotic methods to get them to uncover these memories. And then they were coming up with some just really, in my mind, and forgive me, but in my mind, some outrageous kinds of beliefs about things that they had experienced or been a part of. and that and these cases came to court because people were accusing their parents of doing these horrendous things, and they started calling this uncovered memory syndrome or something to this degree. So do you think people can use hypnosis to literally get to memories prior to a conscious time in their lives? Because memory is created vis-a-vis something you're able to make some cognitive sense of at whatever stage that might be in one's life.
Right.
So, yes.
Well, sometimes in the unconscious, it's hard to tell what's creative and what's real. So what's, when you go back and try to uncover old memories, it's hard to tell whether that was an actual event or just something imagined.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very difficult place to go. I mean, I really wouldn't go there with someone.
You don't do that.
No, I don't.
So if you were to work with a client who was in tremendous psychic pain, and perhaps somebody who is terribly traumatized, and let me just say out loud to my listeners that you're listening to Mental Health Matters. My guest today is George Belovis. He's a licensed professional counselor and a certified hypnotherapist. We're talking today about hypnotherapy and how you can use hypnotherapy in psychological work, in helping people to relax enough to do a more poignant job of dealing with the kinds of problems that they bring to the therapist's office. And you can also use hypnotherapy to make some changes, like giving up smoking or learning how to eat better or those kinds of problems. Right now, we're just highlighting the issue of when people come into a therapist's office who are terribly traumatized. And George, certainly you know, as I do, that some of the people we treat have had just awful childhoods and have dealt with so many painful things. And they often don't even have access to all of the horrible things that have happened, but they have the feelings that they still feel and are compromised emotionally by the things that have happened to them.
Yes.
So how do you use hypnotherapy with those people and avoid having them actually conjure up memories that may or may not have happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess first I congratulate them on having the skills, the coping skills to survive such horrible things, and have done pretty much the best that they felt they could do to get to this place and just survive, just to live. And then I let them know that there may be even better ways to cope. And that's, the hypnosis is about uncovering these different and possibly more effective ways of coping without giving up the old means of coping. I wouldn't ask someone to give something up that has kept them alive all these years without replacing it with something that might be even more efficient. So working with their confidence in that level, a lot of people don't really appreciate that in themselves, that they've been able to do so well and survive having been through such horrible experiences.
It is interesting to me when people ask me as a therapist how I've spent all of these years containing the pain that we as therapists listen to on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I think you just hit on the head why we do it, because people are amazingly resourceful.
Right.
And if you give them more resources, they really do use them. People really do make changes in their lives.
That's right.
Because we deal with people who have had sometimes such compromised lives, and they do need all of the resources that they can get.
That's right.
So I want to ask you this. Do you ever give your clients exercises, hypnotic exercises that they can do on their own at home, or is that sort of a scary path?
Not at all. Yeah, I teach people self-hypnosis, and I think it's a very, very useful thing to know how to do. With some people, I maybe provide a tape. Again, you really can trust your unconscious not to take you where you don't want to go. So if people are doing self-hypnosis, your unconscious mind will safeguard you. It will not take you to a place that is too dangerous for your conscious mind to deal with.
And I really trust that. Self-hypnosis?
It's getting yourself into a relaxed state with a particular idea of something that you would want to change. That's pretty simply it.
Getting into a relaxed state with the idea in your mind of something that you would like to change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So could it be that what you'd like to change is feeling miserable?
Certainly, yeah.
Okay. So, for instance, I hear a lot of people, they come in and they say, I can't sleep at night because as soon as I get into bed, I start worrying and worrying and worrying about whatever it is I have to worry about. It just continues to lay on my mind, and I can't sleep because I can't let go of those thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I try to teach people how to do thought stopping.
Right.
And for some people, it's really difficult. So tell me how you would use hypnotherapy for somebody in that situation.
Okay, I would have them remember a time when they didn't feel these things. Because people seem to feel like they feel miserable all the time. The reality is that they feel miserable some of the time. And I may have them recollect a time when they really, really kind of felt on top of the world, maybe when they got some praise or an award or just something really nice happened in their lives. And I would get them to really re-experience that moment, the things that they saw, the things that they heard, the things that they felt, and then kind of anchor that moment in them so that they can remember, hey, I don't have to feel this misery all the time, because there was at least one moment in my life when I felt wonderful. And to anchor that and have them re-access that when they're doing their self-hypnosis.
How do they anchor that?
Well, they can anchor it with a word or a touch. They can maybe touch themselves on their arm. The anchor is something I'll be able to give them in our session. Or they could use a word that would just bring back this memory automatically.
Mm-hmm. Do you sometimes touch the clients in a certain spot?
Yeah, I do. Certain spots, of course, like on the hand or arm. There are things we have to be very careful about when it comes to touch,
of course. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes
And this helps.
It does.
And it's called anchoring.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So would you actually encourage somebody to do this once they get into bed, or would you encourage them to do it before they get into bed?
Doesn't matter. Bedtime just seems to be a convenient time to do it. I wouldn't have them do it when they're driving a car or doing something that takes a lot of...
Operating heavy equipment.
Yeah, right, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. But any other time would be suitable. And it depends on a person's schedule when they find they have... 15 or 20 minutes available, it's a good time to use that particular thing.
You know, I was thinking about, for me, the time that I am the most calm in my life is when I have a huge meal to cook and no one is in my kitchen and I am configuring exactly how I'm going to get that meal out and what I'm going to cook and what it's going to smell like, what it's going to taste like, what it's going to feel like doing. Pulling this food together, pulling all the ingredients together. And if somebody walks into my kitchen, I'll jump 10 feet in the air as if I'm not even there. And actually, I can get into my head pretty quickly about a lot of things.
I know that
writing
about you. Yeah.
Yes, I know you know that about me. But cooking is the place where, and I never thought about it before, perhaps that's somewhat of a hypnotic state, and it feels so relaxing and fun to me.
It is a hypnotic state. Watching a movie can be a hypnotic state. You just kind of leave the world and kind of get into your own little world, and you really not paying attention to things that are going on around you.
You know, so many people use really bad substances to make that happen. And what you're saying is that we have so much more control over our own minds and our own psyches and our own thoughts, and that we can use, if we put some time and energy into rethinking how we do our lives, we don't have to shoot heroin to get to a different place or to take a little break from life. And that these are really healthy, thoughtful ways to get grounded and get back to yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
So if you would like to be in touch with George, perhaps, if you're interested in some hypnotherapy, all of his information will be on my website. And you can certainly access that, as I said, by getting on to www.wrir.org and just clicking on my show, and then my website will appear and all the information will be written there very quickly. I would like to wish all my Jewish listeners a happy and healthy new year, and I appreciate you all listening to Mental Health Matters. I appreciate you, George, coming today and taping the show with me.
My pleasure,
Gail. It's a wonderful topic, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us about it another time. And thank you all very much for listening to Mental Health Matters. This is Gail Moskowitz, and I hope you'll tune in again next Thursday at 1 o'clock.
In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry.